Through your heart, minister from your heart, minister by your Spirit, the things that aren't just teachings, Lord, but truly a place within you, of finding your who you are, how you are, and the way you are, and that's your Spirit, that's your nature, that's knowing you from within. So we do, we so deeply lean into you, Holy Spirit, because nobody can teach this class but you, because you have the Spirit of truth. You're the teacher because you bring us into the Spirit of truth. And that brings forth the Spirit of the Son. And he fulfills this because this is who he is in us. So who is sufficient for this? We are not. And so instead of being students ready to learn, we open our hearts to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to breathe the essence of the Lamb into us in these things, because that is the only way they will be fulfilled. And how wonderful that is the case. So we love you. Thank you. Be blessed that we had this time in your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to start again with what's called the principle of Satan. And I remember when I was in Bible school, and this one really affected me. I mean, I remember when I first read, there's only four short paragraphs on this page. It's not even a full page. It's this, I think, the shortest chapter in the whole book. But it affected me. I can honestly say this is one of those things that after I read it the first time, it changed my life. Like the arrows of the Lord just came so deeply into my heart when I read this. And it just changed me. It just, God just wrote it into my heart. And from there, he's continued. This is maybe 20, 30 plus years before ProSelf that this was written down. So, just as we read through this, just humble your heart before the Lord. I would say don't approach it as a student. And don't approach it, I mean, this is my suggestion, not a command, as someone who already knows this. Oh, I know that. Yeah, of course, we've been taught that. Because you might miss an opportunity for the Lord to inscribe into your heart something that will change you forever, you know, and just that lowly, contrite spirit, he will not despise, you know, he will not despise you offering your heart up to be a partaker of his nature and not just a learner of his teachings, you know. It's a different approach to the Lord. So I preface that, the reading of this with that, because it's so precious and so powerful. So the principle of Satan, we're just going to read through this and let the Lord minister to us. There is a distinction between sinning and rebellion. There is a distinction between sinning and rebellion. Sinning is an act of wrong conduct, but rebellion is a principle of the nature of Satan. Rebellion is a heart condition that can manifest itself in various acts of sinning. Therefore, rebellion is the greater enemy of God. Satan did not just commit an act of rebellion, but chose rebellion against the authority of God as his life principle. The scriptures do not view rebellion as a sinful act, but a violation of the nature of God and a siding with the enemy. Rebellion against authority is what made Satan the enemy of God. It is what made him the devil. The battle of the ages is being waged between two forces to see who will be the supreme authority in the universe. And there are two life principles. Number one, the spirit of the Lamb. And number two, the spirit of rebellion and of self-exaltation. We call that pro-self now. there are two principles at work. Sometimes when we are eating from the knowledge of good and evil, we see a lot of principles at work in our mind. There's this, which it's maybe the not fair, not nice, my needs, they should have, Jesus would have, I think this is the way. A lot of things, isn't there? And in our minds, we can justify all kinds of rebellion by what we call, you know, one of the life principles to choose from. But it's so simple. It's so simple when you look at it by nature. There's only two natures at work in the universe. There's only two life principles that you are going to be. There's only two kinds of blood that's going to pump in your heart. There's only two kinds of spirits that's going to fill your temple. One is the Lamb, and the other is the spirit of rebellion and pro-self and self-exaltation. They take many forms. You know, the spirit of the Lamb manifests in a tree of life that just brings forth so much fruit as it goes into death. I mean, his nature of selfless giving of the Lamb is a tree of life and a river, rivers of living water that bring forth fruit to the nations. You know, there's so much life that comes out of the Lamb in his nature of selfless giving. And the pro-self rebellious nature, not the sins, but the nature of Satan, it manifests in deception and the knowledge of good and evil and lots of different areas we're going to look at. But it's just one thing. It's coming out of his nature. You know, we're going to look at the knowledge of good and evil, and we get confused because with the knowledge of good and evil, we're understanding things by this nature of pro-self and rebellion, talking about what's good and wrong in this situation and that situation and how this should be done and not right. And we get entangled in his deceptions. We get entangled in the serpent's weaving things, right? Trying to distort and deceive and use something other than the fact that he's in rebellion for self-exaltation and he's trying to rob and divert you and remove you from the Lamb who lives by sacrifice and who's meant to be your life, right? So it's really simple. How many have ever felt it was really complicated in their daily situations? You know, isn't it just like entanglement sometimes? Doesn't it feel like that? Especially when we get our emotions involved, our personal lives, our expectations, the things we call good and we call evil. All those things start kind of coming together, don't they? And in that moment, it feels really what? Complicated. Really complicated. Hard to figure out, you know. How will I ever get out of this web? And remember last class when we were talking about going up, 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 up to the throne of the Lamb where we finally came to him who is above all things and by whom all things consist and where all things dwell and who is the beginning and will be the end. Think about one of those times, just right now. Everybody maybe listening, everybody in the room, don't look at me. Why don't you consider in your heart times when you felt entrapped by the enemy, times when you were in a situation you couldn't get out of because it didn't make sense to your heart, to your mind. Just think about that for a second. Maybe ask the Holy Spirit to quicken you. Just take a moment. Take a moment with the Lord. It could be something you're in the middle of right now. A relationship, a hurt, something where your mind just keeps rolling on all this information or hurt or all that injustice, whatever it is, injustice. Okay, and think about how you felt or feel ensnared by that, trapped by that, unable to move forward within it. You need something to happen down here to get free, right? You're waiting for that thing to turn. Amen? you're needing an answer to get out of it. For some of us, it's an answer. For others, it's something someone needs to change. Something in me needs, you know, all those things based on information, situation, stuff down here, stuff in here, in us. But there's only two things to consider in all of that. There are two life principles in the universe. The spirit of the Lamb, it's a spirit, and the spirit of rebellion, self-exaltation, pro-self, the nature of the enemy. Two life principles at work. And within those life principles, within those natures, within those two beings, if you will, there is a spirit, a spirit. Before the commandments came, what was there? It was God. And what is God? Spirit and life and a lamb. Amen, a slaughtered lamb. Okay, so before all of that, we just go up into the one we love. And there's answers in his life principle. One is that we're going to strive with the things of our situation in our mind, and we're going to try to get free that way. Sometimes we do. Our soul gets an answer. We're not really free because only the Son can make us free. But sometimes we get an answer. Other times we don't, and we just suffer in silence with a bad attitude. You know, kind of like that low simmering bad smell. You know what I mean? You just kind of keep it on low, but it's simmering. And it's stinky, but you're not letting it out. It's just under. No one smells it but you, because you have to live with your thoughts, right? How do I get out of that? I'm not going to open my mouth, but I feel all this inside of me. There's two life principles. We can either have the Spirit of the Lamb flood the channels of our inward parts with his living waters and his pure love. Amen. Or the enemy is going to stir up these breached things of what we'll be looking at. It's coming from a nature of rebellion, of self-exaltation. And once we see what's at work, which life principle is trying to be at work in us, then we choose ye this day whom we will serve, not what we will do. It's the what we will do that's probably the serpent trying to tempt us. What will you do today? What? And the answer is, whom will you serve today? Will you be a partaker of the Spirit of the Lamb life principle? Or will you be a partaker of the other life principle that flows with rebellion and functions in the knowledge of good and evil and my rights and self-exaltation? In a sense, self-exaltation can just be preserving ourselves from going into death with the Lamb. And going into death with the Lamb can be as simple as forgiving, giving mercy, you know, saying, I forgive you. My expectation is only one thing, that I die. I have no expectation that you treat me right. My life principle, my expectation, my one thing that I desire, my one choice before me, is that I choose life and I choose the Lamb. And in choosing his life principle, the only thing that I require is that I go into his death with him, by him, through him. And in so doing, I forgive you. I have a good spirit. I bless those who curse me. I pray for those who despitefully use me. I have answers. Answers that come from a life principle instead of earthly things changing and carnal questions being answered. Now I'm flowing. I'm flowing. And sometimes when we're entrenched in the knowledge of good and evil and we're demanding change, when the precious Holy Spirit comes to us and says, hey, let's get out of the details and into the spirit of this thing, the life principle behind this thing, then we go, I don't want to be a part of that. Those issues aren't more important than giving myself to a life principle that isn't the Lamb. You know? And you just, this is what the Lamb does. He goes, I'm just going to be with the Father in this. You know, I'm just going to, Father, I'm going to let your life principle, the nature of your Son, the Spirit of the Lamb, just be in me in this. And you can change things. You can bring the dead to life. You can repair and heal or not. But that's all your business. That's not my business. You're the one who raises the dead and turns the hearts of kings and fulfills their disobedience when my obedience is fulfilled. It's none of my, I won't put my hands to that. Anyway, I don't want to. All I want to put my hands on is the Lamb. And I want to hold his inward parts and see his heart. I want to offer that up to you in the middle of this thing. And I want that life principle to fill my days, fill my meditations, fill my thought life. What about fill your prayers? Isn't that wonderful when you pray and it's like incense going up? You know, the enemy's like, let's pray about these people who aren't very nice. They need to change. And let's also pray about those feelings that are hurt, that need healing. Let's pray about our need. And you're like, wait a second. How about I just let the Spirit, the life principle, the Lamb fill the chambers of my temple, my heart? And I let some incense rise up to the Father in my prayers. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to let the life principle of the Lamb just flood me and releasing the Spirit of your Son in a practical, real situation where I can choose life. I can choose the life principle of the Lamb to fill me because he's in me. And now my prayers are that you would receive your Son, that this situation would work together for the good of bringing me in his image, that this is an opportunity to bless others who aren't blessing me. That's showing that it's Jesus in me to you, Father. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. In all things, I give you thanks. Oh, may this reach your heart, Lord. My prayer request is the life principle of the Lamb. Truly rule and reign in me. Thank you, Lord. Deliver me from evil. Today, this day, Father, thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil. We forgive others even as thou hast forgiven us. Give us this day our daily bread. These giants are bread for us. These things are meant to help us grow into your image. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy be your name. As it is in you, let it be in me. As it is in you, let it be in me. This is my prayer. So the Father spoke through his Son, so the Son spoke to us of his Father when he taught us how to pray. Can you see the life principle of the Lamb at work in Jesus when he walked among us as a man and taught us how to be with the Father in that? Bless him. Today's bread. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom. Isn't it beautiful? It's beautiful. And so our hearts begin to be melted and drawn into a higher life principle, the Lamb, a lower life principle, the Lamb, a nature that's more beautiful than words, any words could ever describe. So our third paragraph in this principle of Satan is not just a sinner. Sin is like a bad fruit produced by a tree with bad roots. The sinful fruit has been created and produced by a nature of rebellion. The creation of this nature and not the act of sinning is what caused the devil's fall. For man, the act of sinning is condemned by God, but rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and practicing the arts of Satan. And that's a literal quote out of 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, that rebellion is as practicing the arts of Satan. Man, that hit me like a truck. That hit me like a truck. But rebellion isn't just like a sin. For man, there are two areas which he should be constantly vigilant about: Satan's acts and Satan's nature. Acts of temptation, deceptions, and afflictions are the things the enemy does to us. What Satan does and what he is, however, those are two different things. We must also seek help from God in keeping us from the nature that rules the life of Satan. Rebellion is not something Satan does to us, but something that makes him tick. It characterizes his very being in person. To rebel against authority is to live in principle with the devil while claiming Christ as our master. So I just feel like, you know, those sentences and paragraphs are something that it's a personal journey of heart between you and your Father, you and your God. And, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to open up those sentences and breathe the heart behind them. And so I would just encourage you to, in your prayer time, hold these things before the Lord. Seek his interpretation. Seek him in this one. You know, that's what I would say. I would like to now go to another example in the scriptures that shows this principle of rebellion in a practical outworking. And that's going to be in our class book. It's going to be Rebellion Among Leadership, and it's going to be chapter 9. But the verses that it deals with are going to be Numbers, chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. So I'm just going to read those, and then we're going to just kind of see this principle in action in the scriptures and look at it a little bit together. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not also spoken by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even face to face, not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord will he see. The Lord's face shall he see. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and he beheld that she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly. We have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again." And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. So this is a case of rebellion. It's rebellion among the leaders. It's also rebellion within a family, because Miriam was Moses' older sister. So she's probably wanting to straighten up her brother on some fronts, or another front as a leader, deal with something. These were the three central figures used to deliver Israel from Egypt. Now there's a lot of different things, and I'm going to not, we haven't covered everything that this chapter deals with, so I'm going to read just a few sections, but I would like to go to the bottom of the page where it says the perception of good and evil, because we can begin to discern that within this story as well as other things. When our evaluation of a situation is based on the knowledge of good and evil instead of God's respect for delegated authority, we will always find ourselves on the wrong end of God's judgment. The account reads, And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Cushite woman he had married. From the mouth of Moses himself, they had heard God say that they were not to marry foreign women. The congregation had heard Moses stand up and speak with fiery indignation against such acts, and then watched him do the very thing he preached against. Is it not right to expose sin? Should not the leadership purify the leadership? You would think that God would have been pleased that they were enforcing the law which he had given. Knowledge of good and evil is one thing. However, on the list of God's priorities, maintaining respect for God's anointed supersedes the pointing out of sin. When you do a good thing out of God's order, it is no longer a good thing. Notice the questions that take place. Hath the Lord indeed spoken only with Moses? Hath he not spoken also with us? One key way to identify Satan's involvement is when authority is questioned. Satan said to Eve, "Hath God said?" Now, we get in a spot like this, and I know with myself, but we begin to start thinking down, even in the story, maybe it's just me, but of earth things. These thoughts start coming, you know, earth stuff. But let's go back now to the first chapter we read today. It's about a spirit. The enemy will always ensnare us because he's going to weave in. But what about? But good and evil, right and wrong. And the Lord helped me. When that happens, a lot of times I would, like a scientist, which you are, you know, enjoy science, Isaac, it's like I would take my Petri dishes, okay? And in this Petri dish, I have my good little, don't know it yet, satanic thought that's coming from the carnal mind and the earth with knowledge of good and evil, and this other little evil thing. And it's just a bit of information based on a situation or something, right? And there's two kinds of scientists. One scientist goes, takes his little whatever it is, and he pops down in there like reasoning based on similar things like knowledge, and he discerns if it's correct what it's made of by more good and evil. I don't know how to put it, like Christianized good and evil. He just drops in and tries to see what it's made of, and of course. That just, I don't know how to put it, just Christianized something, what should be, whatever it is, dropping down there, and he comes out, oh yeah, valid. It gets the big green light. Go with it, yes. But when you fill your dropper up with, it's a terrible example, but maybe the minister, you fill it up with discerning what spirit it's of. If it's green, that means it's a lamb nature. If it's red, that means it's rebellion. And as the sin of witchcraft, okay? So I'm now trying to look at it from the viewpoint of life principle. What life principle is this Petri dish full of? What nature and spirit? Who did this Petri dish, who deposited all this into this Petri dish? Where did this come from? What is its source? But the devil goes, I don't like that approach. Your carnal mind agrees. Yes, I agree. Let's look at it from the angle of good Christian judicial, you know, governmental, just rules, whatever. Can't even tell what it is, but I feel let's go with it, you know. And something in the jury of our heart goes, I'm going to go with that, even though I haven't discerned if it's coming from the Lamb or it's coming from the devil, because it sounds right. Eve did the same thing in the garden, didn't she? When the serpent came to her. So there's this is a discernment of what nature it is. First and forever foremost. That's that simple thing we were talking about in the beginning. Remember, it gets so complicated and you're just like whirling and swirling, and then you're wanting to work through all the whirls and swirls. That's when you get your little scientist outfit on, your little lab coat, and you decide what is the life principle. Who is this? Where did this come from? What is this in spirit and nature? And he asks the Lord. And you wait on the Lord. And you hold it before the Lord. And guess who pops in there? Oh, the Holy Spirit. And he starts showing you, you know what this is made of? All this carnal, whatever. You know what this is made of? Sacrifice, selfless giving comes from. He begins to show you the nature behind it, the source from whence it came. And that's very much ours to do. That's our, no one can really do that for us. You know what I mean? We have to know him in that way and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit real enough where he can begin to give us that discernment of life and death. So you can see with Miriam and Aaron, it got tricky for them, didn't it? It got tricky for them, and they were the top leaders under Moses. So here's some more questions. Hath the Lord indeed spoke only with Moses? Has he not spoken with us? The devil asked Eve, hath God said? All these questions start coming, all these different things. And they're really just proceeding on the basis of their questions, not on the spirit and the source and the nature behind them. So it became so strong in Miriam that she opened up her mouth. She actually spoke forth. Before the mouth speaks, there must be the thought produced by the knowledge of good and evil. So the thought had come, right? They were struggling with these questions against Moses. But if that thought is pampered and given attention, it will produce questionings and then a boldness to speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Bible says, and Miriam and Aaron spoke against. Thoughts of rebellion, I like this sentence. Thoughts of rebellion against authority are common to all of us and will be until the spirit of the Lamb is fully formed. So we don't have to get under some kind of condemnation when thoughts of rebellion come into us. You know, they will come to us until Christ the Lamb is fully formed in us. But we have to let that bird fly through our belfry and not let him make a nest, right? The bird can fly through into the window, but he needs to go out the other window and not make a nest in the middle. And that's our place, is to get the broom and shoo him out and not create a little nest and feed him every day, right? Go to the store and get the bird food for the carnal rebellion, you know, get him out. So we don't have to go into fear if the thought comes, but we should be in the fear of the Lord if we coddle the thought and allow it to stay, feed it and agree with it. Because eventually what will happen, out of the abundance of the heart, that's when the bird made its nest, the mouth speaks. Eventually the bird's going to start talking. And that's going to be our mouth speaking forth these things of rebellion. As long as rebellion is resisted and not allowed to build nests in our hair, we will be all right. But when we speak, then judgment falls. The word informs us that the Lord heard it. Isn't that powerful? The Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. The Lord honors a higher law than the knowledge of good and evil. Rebellion is not an act of sin. It is the nature of sin. Rebellion against God's authority caused the fall of the human race. These are just powerful, powerful sentences, aren't they? There was, it seemed, a good reason, good as defined by their knowledge of good and evil, for Miriam and Aaron to be upset. But in God's mind, there is never a good reason to conform to the image of Satan. Think of, you know, I thought the second half of that sentence was, in God's mind, there's never a good reason to get mad at your leader or to judge your leader or something, you know, something even down here like that. There's never a good reason to conform to the image of Satan. In other words, the issue isn't the issue. The issue is who you have now joined to. Who are you in union with? What spirit are you partaking of? What life principle are you flowing in? What tree are you tapped into as a branch? And from which tree is your fruit coming, the fruit that's coming out of your mouth? a good reason is never, but in God's mind, there's never a good reason to conform to the image of Satan. Miriam and Aaron claimed they heard from God while living in agreement with the principle of Satan. Let's read that again and take a comment. Miriam and Aaron claimed they heard from God while living in agreement with the principle of the life of Satan. Anyone have a comment on that? Or a thought? A prayer request?
So, it's not like an issue of between me and leadership, or between me and this other person, although in some sense it is, but more a thing between me and the Lord?
Yes, perfect, that's perfect. Meyer just said that the real issue is between her and the Lord. It's a rebellion against the Lord. It's not just an earth issue based on an earth issue first. It's based on her and the Lord. And when we say the Lord, really, what life principle are we speaking of? Mm-hmm. Which is love. That's right. It kind of helps when you say that. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's an issue between you and the Lord. Who's sitting on the throne as Lord? A little slaughtered lamb who died for his enemies. You know what I mean? And there's a spirit in him that's meant to flow into us and down here be our way of proceeding. Oh my gosh, look at all these pages here. Though Moses committed an act of sin, it was Miriam who fell in with the principle of Satan. Can you see the difference? So there was a commandment not to marry a Cushite woman, and Moses did. That was an act of sin. But Miriam fell in with Satan and a rebellion and ended up cursed with leprosy. Now, is that my interpretation or is that what the Word of God says? It's yours to decide. You need to search the Scriptures. But Moses didn't come out with leprosy, did he? Moses wasn't cursed by the Lord or chastised. He was actually honored in front of the entire congregation after that. God honored Moses. He told everybody what he thought about him. That's in the Scriptures. But Miriam was leprous for 7 days and stopped the movement forward of the whole camp. So from that story, it's just really cool because you see the difference in weight. You know, knowledge of good and evil is oftentimes pointing out everyone else's faults, isn't it? Here's where we're at. Here's a good, I feel something from the Lord here. The knowledge of good and evil is always pointing out everybody's sins. This person's sinning, that person's sinning, sin, 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 sin. You're just like, got your little banner. You're sinning, and I see it, and I declare it. And I will not be nice or have the Spirit of Jesus because you're sinning. It justifies me to rebel against the nature of God. And God says, hey, little protester, come over here. There, and you're like, they're in sin, they're in sin, they're in sin, they're in sin, they're in sin. He goes, yep, they are. They're all in sin. And you're in the sin of witchcraft because you're in rebellion against my nature. Because my nature is my son that I put in you, who's a lamb. And guess what he did? He died for their sins. He covered their iniquity. He gave himself as a covering. He gave himself as a propitiation and an atonement. I mean, we're not talking about the doctrines of the cross and even the work. We're talking about the nature of this lamb who's in us. If he died for them, is he running around pointing everything out in his spirit that is of the enemy, that breached and broke God's heart? Is he going to justify their sins to break with the nature of his Father? Would that be a strong enough pull for Christ? The sins of the whole world and Romans beating him and his friends leaving him and everybody spitting and calling him a failure, a deceiver, a blasphemer. And the weight of all the sins of the world, of all the generations of mankind being put on top of him, his Father leaving him. Is that a justification to have a bad attitude and breach with the spirit of selfless giving? It wasn't for Jesus. Think about that. For me, it could be just one person's love. I don't think that's the Lord in them, and it just makes my life uncomfortable and hurts my feelings. And that means I have the right to do the sin of witchcraft and breach from the Lamb and have, you know, partake in the nature of the enemy and rebel. And all of a sudden, you're like, I will not let that person sin. I will not let that situation. I will not let that thing that is wrong and that sin that is happening and that situation that is hurtful and that thing that does, not Jesus. I'm not going to deliver me from temptation. Remember, Jesus said, pray it every day to your Father. That's tempting me to what? Oh, that sin in them is tempting me to what? That thing they're doing that's hurting me, it's tempting me to what? To sin? No. Deliver me from what? Evil. Where does evil come from? Satan. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. I was tempted to become evil, to partake of evil, to be rebellious against what? Not them. The rebellion wasn't against Moses, guys. It was against God. Miriam and Aaron didn't rebel against Moses. I mean, they did, but their rebellion wasn't against Moses. It was against God. God delegated his authority to that man, not based on sinless perfection, based on God delegated his authority. And God himself is a lamb in nature. They rebelled against the nature of God. They rebelled against his delegate. And they did it on the basis of a sin. They did it on the basis of a sin. Have I done that? Yes. Oh my goodness. Have I done it this week? I probably have. And does it break my heart? It breaks my heart. And in a really real way, it puts me in the fear of the Lord, not in a condemning, wrong-spirited way, but in a broken, healthy, leading me to a purging and cleansing, to be with the Lord in his kingdom way, good way, God good. I'm like, Lord, I let that person's sin breach me from your nature and justify going with the devil. Because they were wrong, I was okay. Because of their sin, I was okay to function in the nature of Satan and rebel against the Lamb. Rebel against the Lamb being my life principle. And let another spirit come out of me towards them because of their sin. How many times have I let a bad spirit, a breached spirit, a spirit that does not come from the Lamb, and there's only two life principles. How many times have I justified in my heart, they're not nice to me, you know what? I'm just going to withhold Jesus from them until they can get a little better towards me. I ain't going to show forth the Lord's love and mercies and kindnesses. When they're nice to me, when they do it my way, the way I think Jesus would do it, then I'll be so sweet. I'll be just loving, giving. I'll even sacrifice for them. There's no lamb in that. Love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. It isn't based on how they treat us, good or evil. It's based on I am married to the Lamb. I am a son of God by Christ. The nature and life principle I live by is Jesus. My full attention is on being one with him and representing him and his Father in this crooked and perverse generation by a spirit and nature that shows who they really are. And that person treating me wrong should be an avenue for their light to shine and not for me to be breached from the Lamb. Because if they're not nice to me, I won't be nice to them. If they treat me wrong and are truly treating me wrong, and it really is sin in their life, that justifies me going with Satan and rebelling against the Lamb being my life, rebelling against the life principle of his spirit within me, and releasing towards them another life. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Moses married a Cushite woman. Moses, that was definitely not what God had asked us to do. It's sin. You sinned, buddy. You sinned. Here's the deal. God didn't seem that upset about it, did he? I mean, We can all have our opinions about Moses marrying a Cushite woman. But God's opinion, he didn't even bring up that Moses sinned. He brought up that he knows me face to face. He's my friend, this guy. I love him. And he didn't ask Moses any questions. God, in the scriptures we read in Numbers, he didn't say, Moses, how could you do that? You're the one who preached it. How could you do that? Did God say that to Moses? He said to them, how would you know, speak that? How could you speak that? There was something in that account where God asked them, how could you just say this? And then it said, when you spoke, I was listening. I mean, those things kind of hit me, you know. I might feel like, oh, it's just, again, if that bird is flying through the belfry, I think the Lord is gracious. He's like, Christ is forming in you, these temptations come. Temptations come. Jesus was tempted in the garden, but he did not sin. And we can be tempted by the enemy. We can be tempted by the breach master. We can feel those thoughts and pulls and be pulled to rebel against the Lamb. But we just, I ain't open this mouth. I ain't moving forward. And Lord, help me not to let, you know how incense burners kind of release a fragrance? Please help me to turn my incense burner off so I don't have this little steam mist of meanness or other spirit coming out that they're smelling. You got to turn the incense thing off too. Shut the mouth, nail the hands and feet so they can't move, and turn off the fragrance and say, Lord, I need your spirit and I need it now and I'm pressing in. And you see what I'm saying? And you get not passive, but real active. The spirit and the bride together start saying, come Lord Jesus, come forth. I hate to use the word fail, but I don't want to fail you in this situation. I don't want to not be there for you in this situation. You allowed this person in my life. You allowed this situation in my life. You knew all these injustices would happen once the serpent hit the garden. You knew life would be rough and people would fail me and things would be hurtful and this journey would be difficult. But you said all those things were meant to work together to bring forth the spirit of the Son in me. And Father, I don't want to fail that eternal purpose by letting these things tempt me to breach from God, to rebel against the Lamb, to join with the enemy when I should be submitting to his spirit and blessing them. Lord, please help me to see the difference. Help me to discern sin from joining with the nature of the enemy. Help me to discern being tempted to breach from God, from saying no, even though I feel the pull, waiting on the Lord and seeking him and saying, Lord, I haven't sinned yet. I haven't breached yet. I haven't breached yet. This bird's trying to make a nest in my head. These things are trying to pull me into rebellion, but I say no, and I stand my ground even if my mind is still swirling and my emotions are still stirred up and I can't speak and my incense burner wants to release all this bad fragrance, but Lord, I belong to Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ. Passover Lamb, you already dealt with my leaven, but I need this to be real in me right now in this situation. This has to be more than a finished work in you. It has to have power in me because we're one. And I'm going to draw that out of you into me right now by my faith. And I'm going to agree with you in the face of the enemy that is me, my mind, my emotions, my situations. And I'm not going to be satisfied to stay there forever. I need to bring forth an unbreached, slaughtered, love-driven lamb in this situation. And I don't want to go 40 years just waiting for that in my faith. I need it to move into love eventually where I can love those. And I can live lamb in these things. Not for me. Father, you invested your son. I would like you to get a harvest of him out of my life. It'd be nice for you to get a harvest. However many days you let me be on this planet, however many situations, unjust situations you put in my life so they could be bred for me, I'd like to give you a yield of the lamb out of that. I don't just want to hide in my pocket. I knew you were a hard master and you dealt harshly with rebellion. So when you gave me that seed of Christ, I put him in my pocket and held him by faith, but I never sowed him in my situations and brought an increase. He wasn't very pleased with that. At a certain point, it has to come out of our faith pocket and be sown into the situation so the Father gets an increase. This is about God, not us. If it's the Spirit of the Lamb, it's about others. It's about others. It's not about us. It's about them. And so, again, the simplicity of two life principles. We don't have to get confused. And when our hearts are still pulled and we're tempted, we don't have to move. And we can choose life even when tendrils of temptation are surrounding us. And we can wait on the Lord, because what happens to those who wait on the Lord? Even in times like this, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall exchange lives. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, or if you look at the translation of renew, they shall exchange their strength. They'll exchange that life for the nature of the Lamb, and that new life principle of the Lamb that they exchanged that old carnal, yucky, breached nature for, it's going to mount them up with wings like eagles, and they're going to be up there in the throne of the Lamb looking down on that situation, flying far above it in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, where there is no longer any condemnation for those who walk in this unbreached Lamb nature the Father has given us to be our life. Not just a seat in our pocket or a ticket to heaven, but the principle by which we live. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for the beauty and the simplicity of the things that are of God. And it is not complicated. We don't have to go to a courtroom for 2 weeks to present our case of injustice and to justify our breached attitudes towards the very ones you died for, which is everyone in the whole world. Rather, Lord, we'd want to walk into that courtroom with all of our court cases built in our hearts and minds and throw them into the trash can beside the judge, fall on our face before him and say, have mercy on me, a sinner. I am the breached. I am the one that left your nature of the Lamb to get caught up in this court case. And nothing matters in this courtroom, Father, of your heart, but those who will choose the Lamb and will bless their enemies and will not be separated from Jesus because someone sinned or wasn't right. Jesus, thank you for testing and trying my heart to see if I will be preached and join with your enemy just because someone wasn't nice to me. Thank you that it's important to you to see if it's real in me and if I truly do love you more than my own life and my own rights and my own feelings. Thank you, God, that you're the one who's doing that. You're the one who's testing to see what you have, to see what you really have. That's your right, husband. That's your right, Lord. You bought us with a price. You can check it out to see if it's real. May we be approved. May we be approved. May Christ be found to be our life, truly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, that's all for this week. Thanks, guys.